You're listening to the Branches HB Podcast.
Well, welcome. Hey, you're already cheering for no announcements, but you should be cheering for this worship team. I wish there was a huge audience to cheer for them. I was over there kind of faking like I was trying to clap because I didn't want to overwhelm anything. But I do praise the Lord for how deep our worship team is. They go really deep. I think there's probably, 30 or something like that, Brian. There's a lot of people that can step up to this position and say, wow, I'm going to play that guitar. I'm going to play those drums. I'm going to play the keyboards. I'm going to sing unto the Lord. And I thank our church for that, because we are deep in that area, and I love that. Well, I'm excited that I get to be the one to just show up here, talk to our church family, just about really, I'm going to have three verses, which is pretty simple. It's not intense. Walk through this, the word that we're going to talk. We're in Galatians, by the way. And welcome. If you happen to be the first time ever and you're going, I have never tuned in to Branches ever, but this is your first time, then we want to welcome you. If this is your 100th time, we still welcome you. You're part of our family no matter what, and we're glad. Hey, for some of you, you're going, what is going on at Branches right now? It seems like it's so quiet. Well, we're still in COVID here, and we're still not able to meet, and we know it's so sad and not be able to do that. But there are a lot of things still going on. Some of you tuned in last night to the Young Lives Gala. I know we were on there, and I was watching this red needle going to the top. And so I don't know the dollar amount, but I believe that they actually rose enough money of what they were trying to reach. So that's something we're excited about. We started a new marriage class called Reengage this week, and that was exciting, because we have 27 couples going through this together with 5 couples that are leading them. 32 couples are going to go through a book together and listen to what God says about marriage. So we're excited about what is still going on in Branches. There's still community groups going on. There's still men's and women's things going on. If you have any questions, go online, send us an email. Let us know that you want to get involved some way, even in this COVID time, okay? So we are going to open up your Bibles to Galatians. We are still there. We are in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 through 15 this morning. But what I want to do is I'm going to talk a little about Galatians, just a little bit. I know you're going, oh, I've already heard all these things about Galatians, but maybe you're new to us. And so I want to remind us a few things. But first of all, I want to talk about freedom. Now, I don't know where you guys are at on freedom, but I keep hearing people, you know, our gyms opened up last week. So there's people going, oh, finally, we're free to go back to the gym. You know, we're hearing about there's movies, places that are opening again. We're finally able to go back to a movie outside of our Netflix at our home TV. And so it's in our fabric, in our nation, is freedom. Matter of fact, I looked up the Declaration of Independence. It states our nation pursues, we all know, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's going after life, going after liberty, our freedoms, and then this pursuit of happiness. We love to sing about freedom. We love to talk about freedom. It means different things to different people. Artists may speak of freedom to express himself or herself. Politicians may speak of freedom on this area of freedom of speech or freedom of democracy. Iraq could speak of freedom by tyranny. But we know there's this, listen to this guy. 1941, President Roosevelt spoke of 4 great freedoms. Freedom of speech, freedom to worship, freedom from want, freedom from fear. Freedom, we all want it, right? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. I'm going to go into this message, and if you're a note taker, I've titled it The Reason for Our Freedom. And what is that freedom we have? By no means, without even going any further, there is no way that you can truly be free until you know Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. That's the bottom answer that I'm going to get to through this. Paul has been getting us through this area of from legality into this area of freedom. Jesus said, if the Son sets us free, you are free indeed. Christianity by majority is perceived as something that's not free. I've heard so many people, I remember when I was a kid, it was like, I don't want to be in the Christian circle because I feel like I'm going to lose my freedom. Because it feels like there's so many rules you have to follow and so many things you have to do. So I hear people saying that all the time. Oh, I wouldn't want to be a Christian because I'll lose my freedom. It's the opposite. When I found Christ, I found true freedom. How are you perceived today? How would someone, if they looked at you and they looked at your lifestyle, how would you be perceived? Remember, people may never go to a church service ever. So you have to be that church to them. How are you perceived by people? Free? Is there joy in your life? Is there happiness? You know, Galatians, as we just kind of walk through a little, first of all, it was written by Paul. That's very basic. It's written to Christians. First two chapters, chapter 1 and 2, is more of a personal autobiography by Paul. He's basically stating, I am Paul. I grew up under the law. Hey, I'm a Jew. I was saved from that kind of stuff. I was saved by faith in Christ. I became an apostle to the Gentiles. I have been hassled ever since. That's kind of a real quick little gist of chapter 1 and 2. Then he goes to chapter 3 and 4. It's more doctrinal. So he begins to talk about, where is your faith? Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing of faith? He questioned the believers. And then he talked to him about Father Abraham, who brought up who he was. And we know that he was just a great man of the Jewish faith. But it says he was justified by faith, not his works. It wasn't by something he did. He quotes Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. He explains the purpose of law. It's right now where some of you parents are having to become school teachers. And that was not what you planned to ever do. But you have become a school teacher or a tutor. And that's what the law is supposed to do. It's supposed to point us towards Christ. Well, today, as we talk about this next section, Paul says, the law is done. This New Testament is this old law has been fulfilled through Christ. This last chapter 5 and 6, is practical. It's application. Paul shows a true faith in Jesus Christ will lead you somewhere. The law said, if you earn your freedom, you will become free. Did you hear that? If you earn your freedom, you will become free. Grace said, someone else other than you will make you free. And we know that in Jesus. So Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, I know we went there last week, but I'm going to touch on it. It says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Paul says, stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Christ set us free. Can I hear an amen to that? Okay, a few amens to that. Well, stand firm, it says. Christ has set us free. What's a yoke? You know, he's talking about set us free, but there's this burden against this yoke of slavery. What he was talking about, a yoke, we all know, a yoke was a really thick piece of wood that was put on oxen to help plow the land, and it was kind of a steering wheel, so they could turn to the right or the left or stop. But what Paul was talking about, and as the people of the day was hearing, is take that yoke off. We know it's burdensome. We know it's heavy. And what he was talking about was the law, was legalism. As he was speaking to them, they were going, I can never measure up. I keep trying to fulfill the law, but I fall to the law and I keep losing it. Well, I just want to share just a bit about me, the Brock Snook that maybe you don't know. Many of you heard me talk about Oklahoma. Maybe it's because my license tag has Oklahoma University on it because I do follow OU. But I'm from Oklahoma, and I was raised in an amazing Christian home. family that loved God. My dad was a pastor, associate pastor in the young years of my life, and then became a senior pastor later. But the church I was raised up in was very legalistic. It was very much about follow rules. There even was a church discipline that basically said things like, don't go to carnivals, you can't go to movies, you can't play playing cards. I have basically thought you can't do anything. You can't dance? Or you can't, I can't go to a prom? Are you kidding me? What is this all about? And I'm telling you, I rebelled a little against that. I began to say, who is telling me what to do? You guys have felt some of that when you were told not to go to the beach, right? I lost my freedom there. But there was this legality that I was brought up with. But all of a sudden, in my 20s, we'd already started having two kids. And my wife and I, we started going to a little church in Costa Mesa called Calvary Chapel under Chuck Smith's ministry. And you know what? I begin to hear this little bald-haired man speaking of God's word and going through it and listening to him Sunday mornings and going through scripture Sunday night. I begin to fall in love with God's word. But then I was challenged still constantly about, I'm not measuring up. I'm not good enough. I sinned yesterday. As a kid, I used to think, if I sinned and I said something bad to my sister, if I did not repent before I go to bed, I could die and I would go to hell. I literally went to the altar thousands of times because I thought I was going to hell. So I was under this bombardment of this law. But all of a sudden, I'm at Calvary Chapel and I was told, read this book. It was called Grace Changes Everything by Chuck Smith. It changed my life. I began to understand that the law was closed up. And this grace, I don't have to always be this perfect person. I am saved by his grace, and it changed my life. So you know what? Last week, Andrew talked about having to be careful with this area of legalism. He talked about how to identify false teachers last week. Remember, he gave you a lot of steps in that. And we need to be careful because it's just, we got to be careful about this legalistic time of our life, that where we are not always trying to live up to something. Paul stated in verse 6, he's saying, don't follow rituals, rules, laws, circumcision. But he says in verse 6 of chapter 5, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressed itself through love. Chapters 1 through 5, one theme, we are justified through Christ alone, period. Now we're transitioning from a doctrinal statements to this practical application. So if turn with me to Galatians 5, 13 through 15. And we're going to see this cool change where he says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. I want to pray. Father, help us in our homes, in our cars, on our phones, wherever we're at right now, tuning in to this message, to hear your voice in these three verses, to speak to us individually, to not realize it's not for the person next to me to hear it so much as it's for me to hear it. God, speak to each one of us in this area of freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, verse 13 and 15 gives us an overview of this Christian freedom. We are free from the law. Praise the Lord for that. If you're a note taker, I typically always give you some pretty good notes. So here's some notes. So just write these down. Grab your pen and paper. You can walk in your living room and grab that real quick. The first thing I want to talk about is the call to freedom. Verse 13 says, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Now, if New King James says, for you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. I like the for because it takes you back to what Paul was just talking about. What I just talked about earlier was this area of Paul was refuting the false teachers, and he was talking about their legalism, trying to earn your way to salvation. And he's trying to get across that circumcision, The sign is not enough for Christianity. It's this freedom we get in Christ is enough. Verse 13, he says, for you, my brothers and sisters, we're called. What is calling? Paul says about it over and over through all of the different books he's written. He talks about this calling, calling by God to his people. It comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we will talk about those fruits of the Spirit. We will talk about the first one of the fruits of the Spirit is love. And we're going to understand it opens our eyes. It regenerates our hearts. Paul speaks about the calling. Do you remember when God called and nudged your heart? I hope you do. And it's very important. Your freedom is not yours. You're going, well, wait a minute. I don't get freedom. No, your freedom is not yours. You did not come to Christ because you're smarter than someone else or because you read enough books or because you just looked at the Bible, because I figured this out. You came because of God's grace and his mercy called you out of darkness into the light. He opened your spiritual eyes to now see him and understand what this simple gospel that Brian talked about earlier is all about. Your freedom is not yours. It was cost by Christ going to the cross. Your freedom does not belong to you. It's not yours. But what do I do with this? It's a gift from God. It's a gift of God to serve others. It's a gift to serve God himself. God called you. Christ died for you. But how will you live for him? Paul said you were called to be free, and he's referring to salvation. And I hope you get that towards all of this message. I hope you're going to get what this freedom is about. It's about your salvation when you receive Jesus Christ. Paul said in verse 13 again, brothers and sisters, speaking to them, not from the position of an apostle, but he's saying, my brother, my sister, my friend, it's intimate. We're free. We're free of bondage. We're free of guilt. We're free of shame. When you were held in bondage, sin, or in your own practices of life, it felt like there was no way out, didn't it? People today think that there is freedom to sin. Finally, I received Jesus, so I can do anything I want because I'm free. There is not freedom in sin. No way. There's more like slavery that comes with sin. Jesus said in John 8:34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. True freedom is only found in Jesus Christ. Have you broken the chains of sin in your life? I hope you have. I hope you've given your life to Jesus. I hope that you recognize that Jesus died on the cross for you. He rose the third day for you to give you life. Paul moves now from this call of freedom to reasons for freedom. He gives us three reasons, note takers, three reasons for freedom. First one is to fight our flesh. Look at verse 13 again. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Paul immediately identifies that our freedom is not for our own self-gratification. Our selfish hearts live the way I want, do what I want. It's not what that's for. Our true Christian freedom, verse 13 says, do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What's the flesh? In the Greek translation of this, it doesn't mean the skin and bones that we are in our bodies right now. But what it's referring to is our sinful nature. Have you ever heard the old man, the part of us that's selfish? That's what Paul's speaking about. He says, do not use your freedom to indulge the old man. 1 John 2:16 says, for everything in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of eyes, and the pride of life comes not from the Father, but from the world. The old man, the flesh. Look again now, it says, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. What's indulge mean? New King James, which I was so used to reading, so I typically read that a lot when I'm studying. It says to give opportunity, to indulge. It comes from a military word. And the military word is more of a launching point. It's more of you set a base of operation in a military as a military attack on someone or some country or some area. So listen to that again. It says, but do not use your freedom to attack the flesh or to indulge or to fight the flesh. Paul is trying to say, don't let your freedom in Christ become your excuse to sin. Today, there's many churches that have moved away from my church where it was very legalistic, and they've moved much, much farther away from there. Praise the Lord for that, honestly. But many have moved so far away that they don't even talk about sin anymore. Your freedom is so free that you can do anything you want because of Christ, and you can just live out this sinful lifestyle. I'm telling you, be careful. You can't use this as an excuse to sin. Paul says, do not use your freedom as an excuse for sin. Paul is saying your freedom is not for you. For your own selfish desires, you have been freed in Christ. Why? To serve the Lord and to serve others. Freedom in Christ is not freedom to sin, but is freedom not to sin. I'm going to repeat that. Some of you didn't hear that. Some of you are just drinking your coffee. Listen to that again. Freedom in Christ is not freedom to sin, but is freedom not to sin. Wow. Before you had Christ in your life, you really didn't have that ability to do that. You served yourself. It was all about, what can I do? How can I serve myself? Your sin nature always drove you towards something. And if you don't believe that, I'm telling you, I have 12 grandkids. Soon, in the next few months, we're going to have 14 grandkids. Two of our kids are pregnant. And I have our grandkids a lot during COVID because, you know, we remodeled our pool last year. So we have our kids over a lot, four days a week probably. They're coming over, and the grandkids, and we get to enjoy that. Not once did any of those grandkids get told by their mom and dad the word no. Somehow, the sin nature, they figured it out. I can't tell you how many times I've told, especially my young grandsons, we have a waterfall. Do not push each other off the waterfall. Do not fight up there. One of you are going to crack your head open. And I know one day they're probably going to have a head cracked open. I've had 50 stitches in my head alone just from pool experiences and waterfalls. So I understand it. It's going to happen. But I'm telling them over and over, they didn't have to, it wasn't just nature. It was their sin nature for them. They didn't have to be taught that. But now in Christ, you have a regenerated heart, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Now you have been freed to walk in holiness. The church needs a call back to holiness. Can I get an amen from that? Yes, the church needs a call back to holiness. Paul tells Ephesians, walk in a manner worthy of the calling of which you have been called in Christ Jesus. Freedom is not found in sin. Sin is slavery. Jesus said it, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. So why would we pursue slavery? Jesus rescues us from it. James says in chapter 1, he says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires and enticed. Then their desire has conceived. It gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Why would you pursue death? That's what it's sounding like with sin. You're pursuing death to chasing after sin. Repent, church. God is enough. God is great. He's righteous. So why wouldn't we just walk in that light? I have seen sinful acts like pornography, like divorce, like love of money, patterns, things that people have been caught in, pull them away from freedom. There were good Christian people into bondage. So you can't tell me that by sinning, I have freedom in it. Deal with your own heart is where Paul's trying to talk about over and over through all of his 12 books, I think, of the New Testament. He's talking about this area of self-discipline. And I want you to look at one. This is for me. This is what do I deal with? 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24 says this. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize. Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into the strict training. They go into it, they get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself might not be disqualified for the prize. Now he says in the NLT, that last verse, he said, I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. So Paul's not saying I can blame someone else because I'm not free. I can blame someone else because I'm not saved. I'm never saved because of my parents or because I was raised in America or because I've gone to a church before or I've looked at a Bible before. I am saved because I asked Jesus to come into my life. So the reasons for freedom, first is to fight our flesh. The second is to serve in love. Look at verse 13 again. But do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. You see that? It's freedom to indulge the flesh versus I want to serve one another humbly in love. Serving in the Greek is more of a bond servant. We said serve, it's more of I want to be a slave to someone else. It's an opposite of serving myself. I'm to serve others. Philippians 2 says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name. Have the mindset of Jesus Christ. Jesus made himself nothing. He said he'd take himself from a Godhead to a man, the nature of a man. He took himself to a servant and he says he humbled himself. Are we in a humble position? Can we take this place that Paul's talking about and serve others? Then all of a sudden, Paul now gives us this opposite of the picture. Look at verse 15 of chapter 5. It says, if you bite and devour each other, watch out, for you will be destroyed by each other. Ouch. It's this opposite of love each other, serve each other, to all of a sudden, be careful. Don't devour each other. Don't bite each other. You'll destroy each other. You know, this reminded me about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, we had gone back to Oklahoma to visit our family. I'm from Oklahoma. My wife and I went back to just enjoy that time. Some of you during this beginning of COVID heard or watched a Netflix series called Tiger King. Okay, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? Some of you, foolishly like me, watched it because I was told, hey, Brock, isn't this like most people in Oklahoma? It's not, by the way. But I was told, hey, this is 45 miles from where you were raised in Oklahoma. Have you ever been there? I go, never heard of it, never seen those people. But guess what we did when we went back to Oklahoma a few months back? We went to Tiger King Zoo. And we were in search for Joe Exotic or Carol. No, we weren't. He's in prison. But we were really interested in these tigers. Here's what was crazy. They took this meat of all forms of meat with the bones and individually threw that into the tigers and they demolished it. They bit it like it was us buying a toothpick, demolished the food and just crackling through that. And I asked the guy, what if you didn't feed them alone? What would happen if they were hungry? He said they would devour each other. They would go to the point of killing each other for that food. Interesting that Paul talks about basically this wild animal. Paul's saying, guys, you've been fighting this law. trying to get freedom and liberty. There's been selfishness. The church has got to be today careful, because we can destroy each other and think it's out of love. We have to be so careful. We guys in California right now, we understand destruction, right? We have, I think it was 526 fires currently right now going on in California. And we know a fire destroys anything along its path. And we need to pray for those firemen, pray for those people that have lost homes, and pray for the people, the families, for those fires. But we understand destruction, but Paul is talking about this. Then he says, careful, church, careful. We have to be careful with our jealousy and our grief. It can destroy the church. Which things define you? Do I use my freedom to gratify moi, myself? Do I use my freedom to elevate myself? Or do I use my freedom to love and to serve others? You know, we have community groups, and some of you are back in your community groups. Some of you have been doing Zoom. Some are back in your homes. We follow that model of Acts, where we go into the church and get teaching, and then we gather in homes. And that's a great place to serve each other. That's a great way to have accountability. That's a great way to do that. But some of you can't do that or haven't done that. You can do that in your home. You can do that in other places. Are you using your gifts to serve God? So the reasons for freedom are to fight our flesh, to serve others, and to fulfill the law. That's the last one. In verse 14, it says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." Up to now, Paul has talked about the law in a negative way. Now Paul says the reason you have been given freedom is to fulfill God's law, to love your neighbor as yourself. Wow. Jesus was asked this in Matthew 22. "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commands. Love God, love others." How do we do that? How do we love God and love others? Jesus was also asked this in chapter 10, verse 25. This is our last scripture. "On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. 'Teacher,' he asked him, 'what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'What is written in the law?' he replied. 'How do you read it?' he answered. 'Well, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself.' 'You have answered very correctly,' Jesus answered. 'Do this and you will live.' But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus another question. 'And then, who is my neighbor?' In reply, Jesus said, 'A man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he was attacked by robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and he saw him, passed by him on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him, and he bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn, and he took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and he said, 'Please look after him,' he said. 'And when I return,'" he's coming back, "'I will reimburse you for every expense you have made.' 'Which of these three do you think was the neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber?" The expert in the law replied, "The one who had mercy on him." Jesus told him, you go and you do likewise. So here's my question this morning to each one of you, Branches family. Who is your neighbor? Who is your neighbor? It is anyone that God places along your path. So who is that? Well, that could be a friend. That could be a neighbor. That could be an enemy. That could be a family member. It could be a coworker. Who is the person that God is going to place in your path today? That is who you are to serve. That is who you are to love like you love yourself. How do we use our freedom? How do we truly use our freedom to love God and serve others? Or is it to serve moi, myself? Or do we use our freedom as an excuse to accumulate worldliness or sinful nature? Paul makes it very clear this morning. You are free in Christ, but you are free for a purpose, and that's for His purpose. My last statement to you this morning, use your freedom to love God, to serve God, to love others, and to serve others. We're going to call the worship team back up. I'm going to pray with you now. And I pray that each one of you will listen to what God has to say. Heed the words that God has said to you this morning. Father, we thank you for the blessing of the cross. Father, we took elements of communion this morning. Recognize what you did on the cross to die for my sins. You took care of the law and me not being good enough and not being righteous and not having enough and never going to get there to being enough because of what you did at the cross. It was your grace, it was your mercy that saved us from damnation. But Father, you've given us freedom today to walk in life with joy and happiness. We can find that through you, Jesus. But Father, we may recognize there may be someone out there that's tuned in that's maybe not a believer, that maybe is a family member just sitting in the very back of the house right now that's going, well, how do I get that freedom? It's as simple, Lord, we know, as accepting you as Lord and Savior to say, I sinned. I recognize my sin and I ask you, Lord, to forgive me for my sin. And then it's as simple as say, Lord, I know you went to the cross for me, for my sins. Forgive me for that. I recognize in 3 days you rose from the grave in to give us life and life everlasting. And it's that simple to find freedom, is to say those words that a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, an 80-year-old can say it. But it's some of the hardest things to get the 18 inches from our head to get to our heart, to understand how hard it is to get to our heart. And God, right now, you're speaking to our heart. For the person that's going, I'm never going to be good enough. Man, I've been sleeping with my girlfriend for so long. I'm just caught in this sin pattern. Man, I'm stuck in this addiction. This sin thing is just, it's overwhelming me. I don't know what to do anymore. Step in His freedom. Step in with the Lord. Say, Lord, I need help from this sin pattern. I want to stop this. Forgive me for that. And walk in the freedom. Begin this exercise of praying and reading the Word and being in accountability and connecting with community groups and finding a men's and women's group and saying, God, I need help. I'm not in this alone. I've got you. Obviously, your Holy Spirit lives in us. Father, you mean so much to us. I thank you for your precious word. In Jesus' name, amen.